Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, around November last year, when we were in Lugogo, when I spoke about, for I don't know how many times, about constructing something, using your imagination and seeing what you want and seeing it and keeping it before your face. Now, this week, somebody came to me and he told me that he had been in a very bad place where he was staying. You know, when you stay in a place and you don't even want people to know you stay there, but you seem to be a serious person, only your place of abode does not testify to your apparent seriousness. So that time when we spoke about it, remember, we even charged everybody to come to office and we even put some pictures. You remember the first time we did that on a Saturday for people to meditate. Now, this gentleman told me that he went and downloaded some videos of some beautiful, beautiful, nice houses in the French Riviera and, you know, places like that. Beverly Hills, you know what I'm saying? Nice places. And put them on his laptop and started looking at them every day. Every day. But of course, as he's in his, you know, that place. So he looked at them and looked at them. And so after 3 months, what he took is 3 months, somebody came and told him that, by the way, the Lord has been putting it on my heart to give you an apartment to stay in. And so he went to see the apartment. But of course, usually when something like that happens, the first question in your heart is, am I just going to carry my vikunta and take it to the apartment? Because you can shift with just a mattress as if you're going to boarding school. You know, eh? So that was his concern. Now, when he reached there, he told me that the place was fully furnished. Everything. It even had some food in the fridge. So basically, not handing it out. Praise the Lord. Now, you see, the thing is, sometimes it takes people to be desperate to actually get themselves to pursue this, you know, to really, really pursue it. Because for the most part, I know, and I know from looking at many of you, for the most part, the most you'll give it is 2 weeks. You guys, 2 weeks. And then you'll cheat it. Because you're not entirely convinced about it, you see. Eh? If somebody told you, I'm giving you a deal, you're going to do ABC. Or if they tell you, we are sending you for a master's for 2 years, you're going to go and study, and when you come back, you get a job of 10 million shillings. You'll go and spend the 2 years there, no problem. Isn't it? But now, 3 months, like, okay, I'm saying in his case, 3 months. Because you're not entirely convinced about these principles, you can go for a master's and come back and be broke. But if you were really, really convinced about it, like, there is no way it can fail to work, because it is a spiritual principle set forth from the very beginning. You see, when God called Abraham, and Abraham's duty was just to believe God for a child. That's it. And he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Just that. To be the father of faith. It took Abraham 25 years. To see that child. 25 years. The scripture said he hoped against hope and did not waver in faith, because he accounted him who spoke to be faithful. And when God would like show up and he tells him, I'm going to bless you, he said, but who is going to be the heir of my blessing? Because how can you bless me without a child? You see, Eliezer of Damascus is going to be the heir. Then God tells him, no, he's not going to be, because a child is going to come out from your loins. 1 year, 2 years, 20 years, 25 years. And then God told him, you see, God changed his name from Abraham to Abraham, which is father of nations. Changed his wife's name before the child comes. And sometimes I used to wonder, why doesn't God just give you the child? Why is he delaying you, you see? Eh? But you see, there is something he's trying to establish. Now, then he tells you, you see the stars in the sky, so shall your descendants be. Then he says, you see the sand on the sea. That place where I used to live was at the seashore. So he knew the sand, he knew the stars. But what God is telling him, at night meditate on your children, you're looking at the stars. During the day, when the stars are not there, look at the sand. But continually meditate about your descendants. And eventually, it happened. But then you see, there's something permanent about something that happens like that. Praise the Lord. You see, there's something permanent that happens when people get their children like that. Because Abraham was about 100 years when he got his first child of covenant out of Sarah. But he had 6 children after that. While his wife Sarah died, he married a younger girl. He still had power. Because you see, when you believe God, it works something permanent. You understand? And it says he died at 175 and his eyes were not even dim. He was still strong. Because that period of believing transforms not just the house. You see, when you get to the house, it has transformed something about you completely. Now, the house is the one thing which you really got a hold of. But something inside you has changed completely. Now, having believed 25 years and finally got that child of promise, Sarah, who did not believe, who laughed when the angel said that this time next year she will be holding a baby, for her, she died after that time. And Abraham still had energy. So he got a woman called Keturah. There are people who might know who are called Keturah. Usually they are second wife. I'm joking. Anyway, something changes completely, by the way, because that believing process, it's a very, very powerful thing because it puts you on a foundation where after that, you are completely unshakable. Now, that friend of mine is probably even here. That gentleman, there are 2 things which can happen. Now, he was not meditating for a flat in some neighborhood, for an apartment. He was meditating on a big house, you understand? But a flat is the first step towards that. Now, usually people miss out on 2 ways. Number one, they stop the big meditation and they get comfortable with this. And that becomes the end of you. Number two is they despise this thing because they were looking at the big thing. This thing is very important because it's moving you in that direction. Because it has taken you from point A to point B. But you still have some distance to travel. So you are doing it in the Kazigo, I'm presuming. And you are meditating on Beverly Hills and French Riviera. Now, when you go to a good apartment, still meditate on Beverly Hills and what? French Riviera. Eh? This is just a stepping stone to the other one. Make sure it takes you to the next step. Now, sometimes God does these miracles without using money. So many times to show people that he does not need money to do a miracle. He usually uses other means. Because when people start thinking money, where am I going to get the money? You've cut out God's miracle working power. Because money is just one of 1,000 ways God can use to get you somewhere where he wants. Usually it's even the least convenient way. Now somebody can say, I've given you that thing. Come and stay here. And then you say, praise the Lord. Now, at least now I've seen something. Now I'm still going for what? The other big ones. The other big houses. And you continue dreaming at that level. And you continue giving birth to it at that level. Until eventually, it keeps on working something in you, which is not just a house. Abraham believed God for a child. But when he eventually got, it's not just the child. Everything about him changes. His health changed. Okay? And it said there, he died when he was still fit. His eyes were not dimmed. He could see very well. And there's a reason why the Bible says that. Because faith transforms inwardly. Now, you see, let me tell you something. Let us read from chapter 16, Genesis. It says that, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid servant whose name was Hagar. Now I want you to know that for everything that you believe God for, there is an Egyptian way of getting it, which appears to be easier. You know that? Now, if you're Israel of God, you know, there is always an Egyptian way of getting something. And the devil always presents something because you're believing it and it seems to be like it's going to take a long time. So Egypt will always present a very simple solution. Why must you wait 25 years for a child when you can go to an Egyptian handmaid and do what? Yeah, and get a child. There are other ways of doing it. So eventually Abraham, of course, allowed and he went and went into what? Go ahead. So Sarah said, see now the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded the voice of Sarah. Go ahead. Then Sarah, obviously Sarah was not a feminist. Anyway, I'm joking. Because the feminist said, if you do the what you get from me. Anyway, then Sarah, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abraham, to be his wife. And Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. Go ahead. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. Now, here is the thing. Like, the Egyptian way is instant. You see, the way of God can take a while, but it works on the whole of you. And when you come out of it, you come out of it better. But the Egyptian way is instant. Abraham went immediately pregnant. And that's it about Egypt. It is always instant, and it's always a good solution there. If this one fails, there's another solution which is provided here. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. Now let me tell you something else about Egypt. Every time you get something through Egypt, it will despise the thing of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When somebody is sick and is believing for healing and it's taking long, and then you go and take a cacarian and the next day you're healed, you will despise the other method. But you are going to continue being healed. For him, when he manages to get that thing done, he might never be sick all his life again. But you see, Egypt will always despise. And now that is the principle, by the way. There will always be a despising. Now Hagar has to come out there and despise and say, you know what? So, my mistress has failed to bear children. Next verse. Then Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon you. Now that's a typical woman. Sarah said to Abraham, my wrong be upon who? Upon Sarah? No, upon Abraham. You should have said no. So you mean also you just went? It seems he had even already been eyeing her. Now that is typical woman. Eh? So how come you went immediately? It seems you're already even looking at her. Yet she's the one who actually brought the idea. Now, some of you people know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace, and then she saw that she had conceived. I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and you. Now imagine somebody talking like this. Yet it was all her idea. And now let the Lord judge who is wrong. But you're the one who said to be there. Anyhow, praise the Lord. So Abraham said to Sarah, indeed your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please. And then Sarah dealt harshly with her. And all the women said, what? Eh? And she fled from her presence. But let me tell you something. These stories you see in the Bible are very powerful. The Spirit of God got everything that is going to define humanity until we cease to exist. It is all here in the Bible. Everything. Men and women have never changed all these years later. And God knew it. So you read the story here and you say, I know what this is going to be. Like the similarities, it only has to be by the word of God. Eh? So anyhow, my point is, so when people start believing for something, for instance, even the thing I told you about multiplying money, for the most part, I can guarantee you, the people who did not succeed did it for 1 hour, 2 hours and gave up. It doesn't work. Because in your mind, you're convinced something else is better. You can go and work and get the money. Of course you can. But wouldn't this be a better way? I mean, wouldn't it be something different? Okay, you work. But then the thing is, something which you can get by sticking to it. Now, this person actually challenges me because sometimes I think you say these things and people just scat them over, you know? But then someone, because he was desperate, because he lived in a bad place, he actually stuck to it for 3 months until it started bearing fruit. That's not the full fruit. That is just the beginning of the fruit. Now at least he has a testimony. And you see, it comes in a way where God makes you know that it is not by any effort of yours. Somebody comes out of the blue, not related, nothing. And he comes and tells you, God has put it on my heart to give you this house. Then you know God does that because he wants it to have his signature. So that you know it is him. If he uses a relative of yours, you can say, yeah, you know, maybe she heard that I'm doing badly. No, he will use somebody who is not related, who owes you nothing. And they will come and do it, and then you know that this is God who has done this. Now, the reason people don't stick to it so long is because they are not entirely convinced that it works. And that is all of you, by the way. Maybe with a few exceptions. Amen? You may not believe so, but it's the truth. Only with a few exceptions. Who really? Because the things of the Spirit don't work until you're entirely convinced about it. You don't do trial and error in the Spirit. In the Spirit, you test the depth of a water with both legs. If one leg is on the shore and the other one is there, you're not going to see anything. You don't believe. You have to put yourself in harm's way. That's how it works. Now, the safe way never works. Actually, the casual way. You know, some Nigerian preacher says, the casual way produces casualties. And that's absolutely true, by the way. Because you have to be convinced about it. And sometimes the best way of somebody being convinced is by them being desperate. That's a good place. Because there are no options. I remember Andrew Mark saying that some lady came to him and she wanted divine healing. Then she came and said that, you know, the doctors have done everything they can, and now they have given me 3 months to live. Then Andrew Mark said, that is a very good place to be. Then the woman said, what kind of man of God are you? Because once you know that there is a doctor who can do something, you will not believe for this one. Now, Andrew Mark, once you've tried the doctors, they have failed. Now, it's either this or death. You see how people's faith can be lifted up in scenarios like that. Because you have no choice. Either this or death. But once you know that, let me try this. But you know, also there is a kakerinda, which is going to cause. Or, let me try this. But you know, the other ways of getting, you know, houses, what, you know, you can work and get a job, what, and so on and so forth. Of course, you can do that. And it can even come through meditation. But when it comes with the signature of God, it does not leave you the same. Let me tell you, the people who came to me, I know some of them, who really, really tried multiplying money, and they saw something. Those who were sure they were not expecting anything, and it just showed up, they are not the same. Like something has changed. Because it lifts your faith from here to here. And you've tried something with Egypt, you've not done the Hagar way. Because you know, when there is a Hagar, when this one fails, with failure, you will always go to Hagar. And Hagar will conceive immediately. And something will happen. And I know so many people who are experts at Hagar. Experts. Every time, and I don't mean it in the woman form. I mean it in the solutions which the world has to provide. Vis-a-vis the solutions which God has to provide. And the reason sometimes God takes long is like when you get it, it has changed all of you. All of you. Like, it's not just that thing you believed for. Everything about you has changed. I told you before that when I believed God for about 50 million to do the Watchman Conference in 2015. Now, let me tell you, 50 million, I don't even have to believe God for it now. Now, the reason I've told you that is because in 2015, it was such a big, big, big step of faith. It strained me. It strained me. I almost lost weight. I was talking to myself like these people you see on the street. And God waited until the very last moment before he actually pulled off a miracle. The very last moment. I've told you that story before. And every time you're seeing you're going to be embarrassed, you've called people to come to a conference, you've not paid for the venue. And they are threatening you, they are not going to open the venue. And you really see your reputation is going up in smoke. And then you have no Egypt to run to. So you just go and say, God, man, if you do not do something, I'm in serious trouble. And then he waits. He could have done it 1 week before. But you know, he never does things like that. He waits until the very last moment. But you see, you thank him later. Because after that time, when that happened, man, my faith skyrocketed. Now, the only reason I'm telling you that I don't even have to believe for 50 million is because I went through that. Okay? If I hadn't, I would still be struggling. I would still be in Egypt. Now, imagine if I came here and told you guys here. Eh? When we are preaching here, there is nothing of not don't try at home. This is not extreme sports. Everything that is said here is to be tried at home. Amen. Everything, until you know that, okay, the Chonanga, I did it. I also worked that out. Anyhow, the only reason I can say that now is because I went through that trigger of believing. Then when it happened, when I finished, I was in a different place completely. I can't describe to you how different it was before and after. After, I was convinced that I can believe God for any amount of money. Now these conferences we do here every year, and what? How much money do you think we spend? Let me give you a clue. 50 million is very little. It doesn't even cater for the transport of people. But now we don't even have to even strain about it. So now you see, if I had an Egypt way, or if I can call somebody and say, man, I'm going to be embarrassed, lend me money, I would still be there. But I had to harden, and I hardened. Now I'm not there. I am in another place altogether. Praise the Lord. And now, if I had called somebody to help me at that time, and Egypt comes up and helps me, let me tell you, I would be despising these faith things. Because Hagar, the Egyptian woman, always despises. I would be saying, those guys who are believing God, me, I can call somebody to give me money. There is nobody I could call. And that was by the grace of God. Because if I had anybody I could call, maybe I would have. So God first does what? Isolates you. And then he works something in you. Then you thank him later. At the beginning, you say, man, guys are not picking my call. And you don't know it is the hand of God that is making sure nobody picks up your call. Because he wants you to look at him. Praise the Lord. Now, I want us to know that the principles that we speak about, the things that we talk about here, and everything we spoke about even last, the end time believer is going to have to get rid of Egypt. Because I'm telling you, Egypt is going to cease to be an option very soon. Because Egypt is very corrupted right now. Very, very, very corrupted. Anything you try is corrupted. Praise the Lord. Somebody sent me a video today of these soft drinks which people drink. And they are saying they put in fetuses of aborted kids. Now the pharmaceutical industry has run mad. Now you fail to believe God for divine healing, you're going to go and eat fetuses. Anyway, I don't mean to threaten. But now you see, the thing is, there is nothing to run to there. Previously there was, because the world was still a bit sane. But now there is complete, total insanity all across the world. So now if you do not actually know how to trust God for finances, you are going to end up in a very, very bad place. There is no option. Either you do it or you end up in a very bad place, because that system is going to get messed up, and very soon, and there will be nothing good for you there. Now, but I'm telling you this, if somebody who is living somewhere in a very bad place needs 3 months to move from there to a furnished apartment, 3 months, what would you do in 3 months? Think about your salary in 3 months. You, all of you who are working, can put you from here to here. Like, let me tell you, the way of God changes the entirety of you. And then afterwards, it lifts you up and you become confident. Absolutely confident. Because God has worked a work in you, which is what I was telling you there. If I had any way I could have escaped believing God, I would still be there where 50 million is a miracle. Now it is not. Praise the Lord. Now, you start somewhere, you say, I'm believing. Now, when you get a house, God has not just given you a house. You see, that's the thing about what we are doing here. Because when you are a father or a parent, let me say a parent, and your child asks for something, for the most part, you are not just looking at giving them that thing. You're looking at giving them something that lasts. Let's say you're a mother and your daughter says she wants food, and you see that as an opportunity to teach her how to cook. Amen? Now, that's how God is. Now, you go for a house. He says, by the way, by the time we are through with this house, you will have learned how to get everything else you want from me. Everything. So now you say, but why does it just give me the house? But the same reason he didn't just give Abraham the child. Because when Abraham got there, he had the ability to father more children after 100 years. First of all, the 100 years already a miracle. Wasn't it? But after that, he had more children. Because the miracle does not just come for that. Okay, now you've given birth to Isaac, end of story. Now you are impotent again. No. The miracle changes the whole of you. You can continue. How many more did it? 5 or 6? Eh? So now you think about that. After 100. And now the Bible, of course, puts that for a reason. Now, When we are telling you things here about how to pursue the provision of God and how to put your mind to it, there is a reason why you struggle to put your mind to something. Because you have been conditioned for your mind to be like this. You know that? You say, I can't even watch a music video, even Christian ones, where the pictures are like this. Because they are conditioning you. At the time, I used to watch cartoons with kids, with my children. And I'm seeing the children are understanding. For me, I'm not. Because the things are like this. Then I said, maybe I'm slow. But no, I'm not slow. I have not been conditioned for my mind to be like that. I know it's a conditioning. Starts from childhood, television. So the mind is conditioned to be like this. And now when you're like that, you can never believe God for anything serious. Because when you're beginning to look at a house, by nature of your mind, immediately you think about a car. Immediately you think about this. And then eventually you end up with nothing. Now you have to train your mind. Now all spirituality, by the way, originates from the mind. You have to train your mind to actually think about one thing and stick there. Now, those people who are giving people those television pictures to watch, which are like this, actually for them, they don't have television in their homes. Their children grow up with a sense of control over their minds. By the way, let me tell you, the human mind, when the scripture says, be still and know that I am God, if you meant being still by just sitting down, all of you would already know that he's God. It is the mind that he wants to be still. Because the body is always still. I mean, you can make it still if you want, don't you? Isn't it? But he's talking about be still. Let your mind be still. And know that I'm God. Psalms 46, verse 10. You sit down, focus on one thing. Your mind is focused. And in that place, that's when you actually see everything that you can believe God for. And it is right there. Until you start. Let me tell you a story which I read somewhere in the newspaper about how you focus and change all your surroundings by just focusing on something. But see, the scripture says in Proverbs that he who conquers his spirit is like one who conquers a great city. Because the biggest, the most rebellious and almost rowdy parts of you is your mind. It can never settle anywhere. Except through thorough training. Thorough training. And whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. So now your city is broken down. You have no control over your mind. You cannot think that now I want this, like that person. You see, the advantage we have is we can even use visual aids. You put it on your laptop. You put it somewhere and look at it, this house. Then you look at those houses and allow yourself to dream about them. And think about them. And go in places. And by the way, don't ever think about money. Let me tell you. Somebody told me that she used to see cities that she liked. And she saw Cape Town. And said, oh man, Cape Town is beautiful. So beautiful, so beautiful. And you just play those YouTube videos. You know, there are those where you can see any city. So she plays them and says, oh, Cape Town, Cape Town, Cape Town. After some time, she forgot about it. And life took over. But you see, that's something which you've planted. Does never shifts. It is there. It has been planted. It is growing. It is giving birth. Guess what? A friend of hers came and told her. A friend of hers who is a lady. Some of you might think that it's a man, so maybe you want something. No, it's a fellow lady. Came and told her that I want to sponsor a trip for you to go to Cape Town. Food is sponsored. And she went to Cape Town. Food is sponsored. Something had been sowed inside there. Praise the Lord. Now, when you do not understand this, you do not understand what it means to be in the kingdom of God. This simple, simple principle. The principle is that you can sow good, bad, indifference, and you will manifest it at some stage. That law can never be changed. Go to Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Now, you know, he had just given them the parable of the sower. You know the parable. Some fell on what, some fell on, and so on. Then they asked him later, what is the meaning of this? Then he said, do you not understand this parable? This parable. Somebody said this parable. This specific one. He did not ask them, do you not understand the parables? He told them, do you not understand this specific parable? Then he said, how then will you understand all the others? In other words, you don't understand this, there is nothing you know about the principles of the kingdom of God. Nothing. This is the basis of it. Then he goes on to say, the sower sows the word. Now like here. Now of course you know the full details of the word. Then somebody sows, then somebody comes and snatches. And you think that's just a parable. Let me tell you something. I can guarantee that the time I spoke about, let's say, multiplying money, some people had forgotten about it the minute they reached there. And that's money which would interest all of you. If I'd said something else, like 90% of you would have forgotten about it there. And you think it's just by coincidence. No, it's not. Jesus said there is a devil which waits to come and take that word away as soon as it's given. And that devil is actually there. I've even had people who were in the satanic world who say that their work was to just wait outside churches to come and introduce some things to your mind so that you forget what has been spoken. And they were there. So a word has been spoken. Because let me tell you, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their what? All their troubles. His word. That's what he sends. So now if for you word is just something of you come and listen and listen and then take some tea afterwards and go, you're not going to actually benefit from the things which are being said here in the way, let's say, that some of us have. Because when you see that God is going to construct you, the blocks he uses to construct you are words. So he has words, and those words are blocks which he uses to construct your life. And now you can get those blocks and build in a certain way and not let somebody come and steal it away. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes in immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. How does he take it away? You receive a phone call. Landlord abanja, omana arwadde, and suddenly everything that has been said evaporates. Then in the evening, okay, say tomorrow evening, they ask what was said. Praise the Lord. So now Jesus said, Satan comes and takes the word away. And that's it. Now somebody else, of course, will say, no, I'm going to stick on this word and actually bring it to something. I have perhaps a whole week within which to use these words to construct something in my life. You know, I was just thinking about this the other day, about how easy it is for people to lose what was said. Then a scripture came to me, and then I realized that, you know where in Leviticus, you know you have to know that every scripture has got to be relevant to you today. There is no scripture which is not relevant to you now. None whatsoever. Maybe those which concerned people who are unbelievers who are going to perish. But even then they can be relevant to your relatives. But he said that every animal that chews curd is clean. Have you heard that? Leviticus. Every animal that chews curd is clean. Now, if you want to be clean, and you know Jesus said, you are clean because of the words I've spoken to you. But if you don't know how to chew curd, you are unclean because Satan has taken them. Now, you know what chewing curd is? A cow eats grass, then actually in the night, when there is no grass to eat, it's doing what? Chewing and actually digesting what it ate. And then the Bible says those ones are clean. You shall eat them. Those which don't chew curd, don't eat them. Praise the Lord. Now, if you do not know how to chew the curd of the word of God, and for you, you are like a pig. Something just goes through you, and that's it. You are unclean. I'm not talking in terms of eating pig and what. And chewing the curd, that you may eat, because it is clean. Praise the Lord. Now, if you really want to make words construct your life, you have to learn how not to leave them in one place and just walk away. Otherwise, then you basically have, okay, not wasted time, but you need a lot more time. Because in between Fridays, you're actually listening to so many things, which actually, if you really decided that I am going to construct my life using like these words I've spoken about, like that gentleman, because he was in a desperate place, and he says, I want to live in a decent house. And he chews curd for 3 months until that thing finally brings fruit. Now, if you really, really want to construct your word, because I know so many people, I know so many of them, By tomorrow, they don't have a clue what was said. None whatsoever. And they think it's coincidental. No. Satan comes and takes the word away. And now let me tell you, there are not so many places, let's say in this country, where you're getting a word which is fresh like mine. Because I'm not just here to teach the Bible. If I wanted to teach the Bible, I can teach it. And I can also tell you there are very few people in this country who can teach the Bible like me. If any, by the way. Whatever the subject. But when I go and I get a specific word, and I come, and there's something God is trying to do. For instance, that thing which I spoke about, and I'm saying it again and again, the multiplying of money. Because I want you to keep on trying until you make it. Eh? Try until it happens. Don't give up on it. Okay? Now, when I come with that, the time I first did it was so long ago. And I only mentioned it briefly that time. But when I come and I insist on it, it's for a reason. And it's with a leading. And there's something God is trying to do. And now you can actually turn and make that something serious. And say now, okay, let me believe that this is exactly what the Spirit of God is trying to do at this moment. And then when you go and do it, when the season is in that direction, it becomes much easier. When a word comes, the best time to actually materialize that word is there. You go, chew card on it, continue chewing card until you feel that now it has entered you properly, you've digested the meal properly. The cow chews card all night, it's busy digesting. And that's what makes it clean. The words that have spoken to you have made you clean. You're clean because of the words. Now, because those are the blocks that construct your life. So now, if you want to escape the Egyptian woman, you have to expose yourself to a word that is in that direction. Let's say financial Babylon. You're trying to escape financial Babylon. You have to expose yourself to a word, chew card on it, think about it, meditate on it, chew on it, continue until it gives birth. When it finally gives birth, you are at a different level. You will never be the same again. You understand what I'm saying? This is the system of God, you understand? Here he's talking about sowing seed in the ground. But even all of us came, imagine if your father said, I want a child, but I'm not going to get a woman. Or I'm going to get a woman and I'm not going to go and kwegata with her. There is a means God put. There is a seed, which is the word of God. You know that. There is a womb, which is your faith. And then you conceive. And then it takes some time. Then you give birth. And that is it. Praise the Lord. Now, it takes time. But when you give birth, you've given birth to something. And now that something has left. Previously, you were not a parent. Now you're a parent. Now, everything else you want to give birth to after that becomes easier when you've done it at least once. Praise the Lord. If you did it for a house and it worked, like you have everything you want in front of you. You can use it for any other reason. Now I want a 2023 Range Rover. It is there. The principle is there. It is still there. Like, I'm telling you that this is not just about the end result of a house. No, it is about God changing you and bringing you away from one system to another. Bringing you away from Babylon to the system where he is, which cannot be manipulated by the world. Now, you know, one of the things that causes fertility, using still the example of a child, the seed of a sperm and a womb and all. One of the things which causes fertility is praying in tongues. Now, you know, when we spoke the other time, remember about AI last Friday. This week, Neuralink, that thing which the brain enhancer, which Elon Musk has been doing, has been now passed by the American Food and Drug Authority, FDA, as something now they should be. Guess what happened as soon as it was passed? A miracle! Somebody who was lame walked by just thinking. But the devil is going to deceive people, I'm telling you. When you see the scripture saying that he's going to deceive people with signs, wonders, and lying miracles, eh? You will see. Blind people will see. Lame person has already walked. Eh? But the Bible calls them lying wonders. And now, So you say that with that system being done, how do you bypass it? By the way, let me tell you, never underestimate the power of praying in tongues. And if you have it, do not ever go a day without praying in tongues. Because that is like what God put, which bypasses everything. You are talking from you straight to Him. The devil cannot know what you're saying. Even you cannot know what you're saying. Because if you knew, you would mess it up. That's why the speaker said that God knows what you ought to pray for. And He prays through you for exactly that. And then you wake up the following day and everything seems to be working perfectly because you prayed about it yesterday, but you don't know. You wouldn't even know that this is what I'm supposed to be praying for. Now that is a very powerful tool that the Spirit of God gives us. Very, very powerful. It bypasses everything that the devil can plot. Everything. Now I'll give you an example. There was a time when I was praying in tongues long ago. And those days I was still involved in sports journalism and I had some people who hated me because of that. So I was praying in tongues. Then I just remembered that scripture which is in 1 Corinthians 14 which says, let him who prays in tongues pray that he may interpret. So I just said that I want to know what I'm praying for. Then it happened almost instantaneously that I got to know, and now the things, these things of the spirit can be interesting. I got to know immediately that there was somebody who was plotting to arrest me and apparently charge me with trying to extort money from him. Some guy whom I used to bash a lot in the media. He had tried to give me money and I refused. And usually what they do is they do that. They make it look like now actually you're only bashing him because you asked for money. And okay, there was a whole plot. And in that instant, I knew how it all played out. They were supposed to arrest three people, myself and two other guys. So as soon as I prayed, let me interpret the tongues, I immediately got to know the whole plot. Like, you know, spiritual things, it was like downloading. Then so I knew, oh, so now I'm actually praying that they don't arrest me. How was I going to know that they were going to arrest me? Now, I didn't even have to know the interpretation of the tongue. It didn't matter. It was good for my spiritual development. But the fact that I was praying about it, and I thought I did. Now, here is what happened afterwards. And now the Lord shows you what happened so that you know. Now, what happens is there were three guys who they wanted to arrest. Now, the other guy seemed to be lousy because he had just joined, you know, our group. And he was a lousy guy, apparently. So the people who were planning to arrest me said, we start with this lousy guy, then we go with this one, then they end with me. If they had started with me, they were going to arrest me. But now they started with the other lousy guy. Now, when they arrested the lousy guy, now they are bribing some CID guys. So they took him to CID headquarters. Now when he reached there, people started greeting him. Hey, what are you doing here? What? They said, "Banu magai bahankute what?" It turns out the guy, his father was one of the 27 historicals. Now, the man who they bribed to arrest him was actually arrested and put in prison. If they had started with me, who was going to kumpo this? You see? But because of the wonder of praying in tongues, they started with the person who looked the weakest was actually the strongest. Because he told me he went to the office of the man who was recording, you know, statement. Then the boss of the organization comes and says, hey, what you want? Says, anyway, then he tells this guy, when you finish with him, you send him to my office. I want to see him. Now the guy was like, man, this is a serious story. So now everything started turning back. Eventually, they found that this guy needed money. So if he's the one who was arrested. The wonder of praying in tongues. And you know, I knew all that in like one split second. As soon as I prayed, Lord, let me interpret the tongues and pray. Immediately, it just put like that. Then I know, oh, so these guys have been planning to arrest me. So now I prayed more intensely. And now... You see, that time, that would really scare me because, of course, I wasn't in the place where I am now. So, man, arresting me, like I would really, really be in a bad place. Of course, now if they want to arrest me, let them come. But the thing is, I've been through that already, and it's no longer something. But that time it used to scare me. But the wonder of praying in tongues. Now, all these systems of the devil, which he puts up, you just break them by praying in tongues. He's planning something, it's not there. So you just reach home, you decide to pray in tongues. Now let me tell you, sometimes you can do it when you're doing other things. But don't all the time do it when you're doing other things. Focus on something. If you really, really want something, focus on that thing you want, if you have a picture of it, and just pray in tongues. Just pray in tongues and focus on that thing, and you see what is going to happen. Like if you tried, if you people actually believed in these principles, you cannot be one of 500 applicants for a job and you don't get it. You just go, unless somebody is doing it better than you, which is very unlikely. For the most part, the problem is what I call spiritual laziness. You try it a bit and no chivako, because you think something else is better. But if you actually were convinced that I can get what I want using this, you would focus on it and it would work. You would get whatever it is you want. But spiritual laziness, yeah, you know, now I'm busy, this, one week, yeah. They'll say, hey, by the way, man, it's been long since I prayed in tongues. Then you pray in tongues. There is no commitment to actually knowing that everything you're doing, you can actually clear your path previously, long before, just by praying in tongues. You're speaking mysteries. And then you clear the path. You reach somewhere and it's as if people were waiting for you to bless you. It's because you prayed about it, but you didn't know. Praise the Lord. So if you do not speak in tongues, make sure that you actually are baptized with the Spirit of God today. Amen? Just start speaking in tongues. Just start doing what? Let me tell you how easy it is. My 3-year-old daughter speaks in tongues. Do you know how she does? She started listening to the mother. Then she says the same thing. Then she listens and says, Then she listens. Then she listens to me. Then the next thing, she was actually speaking her own tongues. From just coping. Yeah, that's how it happens. You take it by faith. Then, the other day, they found her seated somewhere, very busy. What are you doing? Leave me, I'm talking to Jesus. Now, if it is that simple, just start copying somebody and believe God. Because you know what Jesus said? If you, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Like, he is ready. You see, you be there and you want it to just happen by force. No. Put yourself in that place. You just start talking any rubbish. By the way, I can guarantee you, go somewhere and say, Lord, you said that you are ready to give the Holy Spirit. When eventually your rubbish becomes baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will know. You will know. It is so clear. You will know. You understand? Eh? Now, just go and receive it. Just start talking gibberish. And then you're there believing God. Now I'm waiting for you, Holy Spirit. Eh? Holy Spirit, we wait on you. Eh? Now I've started. I'm waiting on you to come and do what? To take me up from there. You will see. Usually, that's how they pray for people to receive tongues. They said, start talking. What you hear other people saying, start saying. Then it hits them. Then something takes over. Then now they go. And now they know that the gibberish ended long time ago. And it's like the highest feeling, if you've never had it. It's like a high. Like nothing else. Eh? That's why the scripture says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because it can be the same feeling. You're almost drunk. You actually become drunk. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, this is simple. He's saying he was desperate to give you what? The Holy Spirit. So, how can he not? The reason people fail is they are distant. Don't be distant from anything. Want it with passion. The root cause of all spiritual manifestation is desire. If you desire it, you really want it. I need it. I desire it. And then you start somewhere. And you know, just start talking. And pretend that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now that might sound stupid, but it's not. Amen? But what? That's how God works. When he tells Joshua that walk over the Jordan, when the banks are overflown, he says, okay, walk. They hold the Ark of the Covenant and they start walking in the water. And the banks are still overflown. But when they reach where they would have drowned, then the Jordan separates. Now, the reason people never get anything from God is they say, you first separate. He will never, and you will be there all your life. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Not difficult, it is impossible to please him. But imagine they have said, today, He's going to separate the Jordan. Today he's going to do what? Then he says, now, and the scripture says very clearly, the Jordan had overflowed its banks. It's even worse than usually is. Then they say, okay, now, those start walking. Then you walk in high waters. And then you continue walking. Then when you would have drowned its parts. And that is the principle of how to receive anything from God. Praise the Lord. Do you know what I'm saying? Do not be indifferent. Go back to that scripture. Let's read it again. And those who bore the ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks during the whole time. Can you imagine, like, the Jordan? Now, that's it. Go back to Mark chapter 4 as we come to a close of this. It says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. Go to 15. The ones who Satan comes and steals the word away. Okay? Takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. So it doesn't bear fruit because it was taken away by Satan. And of course, you know how Satan takes words away. Creating destruction. Something that takes your mind away. Then say, these likewise are the ones who are sown on stony ground. Who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so endure only for a time. I believed God for a house for 1 month and he's not working in Bivud Deco. But now it's been 2 years and you still are staying in that Muzigo. What if you had continued? You understand? Eh? What if you had actually continued? These are the ones who says they endure for a short time. Just a little. We talked about multiplying money. Let me try. If it doesn't work in 1 day, Nganchivako, tell you what. The minute you even think like that, it is not going to work. That is guaranteed it is not going to work. Like, you have to enter it believing it is going to work. You understand? Now, if you endure for only a short time, then you never actually believed. You didn't believe. You were just trying. Try and error. And they have no root in so they endure only for a short time. Now, why don't they have root? Because they have not actually chewed cud. They have not internalized that word. That word is what actually gives you root. And then now, it happens immediately. Okay, afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Go ahead. Now, these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things. Now, I want to focus mostly on the desire for other things because that's where most people here miss their miracle. Desire for other things. Praise the Lord. That's why sometimes it's best to be desperate for one thing. Because if you are believing God for a house and the desire for a car comes, you're finished. First get to the house. You understand? Just first seal that one. Like, don't let the devil distract you. There are other things. First of all, even the system that brings the house will bring other things with it later. But don't let him distract you. Now, this is what I desire for other things. Like, and now, there are some words which are so deep and the devil knows the only way he can mess you up is by adding other things. Amen? Okay, desire for other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So now, you were on the verge of giving birth. I want you to know you cannot get pregnant when you're pregnant. You cannot conceive when you're what? Pregnant. So if you're pregnant with the house, first give birth to the house. You cannot conceive. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Go ahead. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100-fold. Go ahead. Also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Praise the Lord. Now, I tell you that if I want to know those who believed the word, I'll just give you 3 months and I see those who have a testimony. Because there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Amen? If you come to me tomorrow with a serious car, then what was hidden is revealed. If you call us for housewarming, then what was hidden was what? is revealed. That's like that's purely it. What you're meditating on today is going to be revealed at some stage. If you are stagnant, we know that you did not do anything. You are indifferent. Those who just take things lightly, they have what I call spiritual indiscipline, or you know, laziness. They don't want to try it. Like in other things, and people who have spiritual laziness, when it comes to other things, they are diligent. They are the sort of people who can work something, work it, wake up in the morning, do this. And I've seen people like that, very, very active out there. But tell them to materialize something spiritually. They'll give it a small try and then they just throw their hands up in the air. But you tell them to wake up at 5:30 in the morning, go and do this, go and do what, gendo subure, go and do what. You go and kusubura. Let me do this. Let's see who will end up better. Praise the Lord. Not that there's anything wrong with kusubura, you understand? Eh? But the thing is, like those people who are diligent in the world, they can be very lazy when it comes to things of the spirit. Anyhow, for there's nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Now that laziness, after some time, somebody will have a nice place which they did not pay for, but they are staying in. And for you, you are waiting to get money to go and pay for it. You're still kukunganya. You know, you haven't collected enough money. But somebody did not even need money. They just went and brought a principal to come to work. And they actually believed what we are saying here. Nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, when something is believed for, ultimately it will come to light. And people will see it. And then we'll know who actually believed. This is not for talking. And I've said it before, if I want to know what you believe, I look at your life. I don't listen to what you say. Words are cheap. Show me the result. Show me the fruit that now I've been believing. Here it is. Now that's what we want to know. So when I come and tell you that we are going into a time of ownership, I want somebody to come and say me, now this is my plot of land. Now, until we get to that time, nobody believed. Everybody is just listening. But you see, if you really believe, don't worry. You're pregnant. Something is what? Is happening. And some of you had had dreams when you're pregnant, men and women, even men. That's what it means actually. Something is being birthed in you. Now, of course, women, it can mean that also. Eh? Praise the Lord. But it can also mean something else. But okay, it can mean that. Anyway, so there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. Go to the next verse. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and you who hear, more will be given. With the same measure that you hear, it will be given to you. Now, there are people who are hearing this and they're actually seeing big things. Because you don't have to have any money for it. You don't have to have any means. You only have to have the time to commit yourself to it. Now, how simple can God make it? You don't have to put it before your eyes. Before your eyes only. No matter how big it is, you only have to keep it before your eyes. And keep it there. Don't be discouraged. Just let it be there. It takes 9 months for a woman to be pregnant and give birth to a child. So, hold on to your pregnancy. Don't give up on it. So you say, take heed therefore, because the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. Now, do you know what that even means? For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Man, I love this scripture. What does that even mean? Let me tell you. Now, when Sandra, for instance, believes for a house and says, that's a house, that's my house. The day she gets it and she joins those who have. Now, if she wants another one, she'll get another one. And to become easier. Then another one. Then whoever has, to him, they will get more. But those ones who refuse to believe, Sandra will even come and take you what? Your house. That's how it works. Somebody decides, I'm going to be among those who have. So I'm going to believe. Now, when the principle works for you once, it becomes easy. I'm saying this over and over again. It becomes easy the second time, the third time, the fourth time. It becomes, you know, easier as you go along. That's why whoever has obtained by this, more will be given. But those who are still struggling, I'm not going to make a thing. Make a what? My what? Somebody will come and just add your property onto their what? Portfolio. And yet they don't even need it. You know, people buy things which they don't need. But whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken. Now go ahead. And he said, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, I love this because Jesus summarized the kingdom of God this way. As a man should scatter seed. Like what I am doing now, scattering seed to I don't know how many people who are here. Just that simple. Now, that is the kingdom of God. And he says, a man should sleep by night. So now when you go and put on that picture or that video of those beautiful houses, you're actually sowing seed inside yourself. And it is there, and you're sowing it, and it stays there. And by the way, it does not go if you sow it. Now, after it is sown, you don't even have to sow it for so long. It might take you a month, depending on how much you've practiced this principle. For some people, it can even take 1 or 2 hours. But you see, when it is sown, all you have to do is stay in the place of expectancy. And then he says you should sleep by night and rise by day. Just sow and then go and sleep. Osirike. You understand? Go and sleep. Now, because when you sow seed in the ground, you don't stand there and look, wait for it to come out. Once the seed is in the ground, you go and sleep. And then you should rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. And then here is the thing. He himself does not know how. The sower does, like, when you meditate on a house, you don't know how God is going to bring it. Just like you don't know the principle which turns one maize into a cob. You don't know. That is none of your business. God put it there. Put a maize there, it will come out. So he says, the sower does not know the principle. You don't know how it works. You're not supposed to know how. You see these people who say that. It's science. Who say they want to know how. How? Tell me how a seed can fall in the ground and die and then come out with more seed. Try to explain that scientifically. There are things which are so simple, but you can't explain them. You understand? You can't. So simple. But it's just that we are used to it. But you imagine, you put a seed there and it dies. But then it comes back with more. Now, he says, now he himself does not know. So, if you sow a seed and you start plotting for how you are going to bring it to pass, you never sowed the seed. You're lying yourself. Praise the Lord. This is the key thing. You just let it be. You just stick to the end result. Stick to the end. Don't worry about the process. That is none of your business. God can use the other one, can use the other one, can get you a good job, can do what. So many ways, but you come to the same thing. Anyhow, it says, for the earth yields crops by itself, not by you, not by your input, by itself. Your work is to sow. The earth does the rest. Then it says, first the blade. So, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. Very important. You're believing for French Riviera, but first an apartment in Chanja. That's first the what? The blade. You understand? Eh? Then the head. Then maybe that apartment is going to be a house in another place, not even an apartment. That's the blade. Then eventually, the full grain. You understand? So what he's saying, it comes in bits. Just like that. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain. Now, if you don't understand that principle, that you're believing to be a billionaire, but first of all, you got $1,000. You're believing God to multiply money, a lot of, but you first multiplied $10, now you have 100. That is a big deal. If you understand the principle of first the blade, then the head. Small things, but you're going somewhere. Now let me tell you, Jesus summarized the kingdom of God. Simple. Everything he's going to ever do is going to come in the form of a word, which he gives. And how you treat that word is going to determine your life. Because that word, you can chew card on it and it becomes a building block in your life. A building block. You can live here and these words stay with you. Until by the time you come back here next Friday, if you do, they are already sown inside you. And nobody can remove them. They will give birth at some stage in future. Then you seem appear to be moving from one miracle to another. To another. Kumbe, you saw that some stage. Amen? Hey, that's what it means to him who has. So you took 1 week and chewed the card, then sowed something. Then the next week you come for something else. Then maybe you actually take another word and go and also chew it to the point that it stays with your mind. It's what you're thinking. Then that is also sown. Now all those words can take even 1 year. But when you start harvesting, you never stop because they are there. They don't shift. The seed is growing. So maybe you sow a seed for this, for the other. Then one day you wake up. This one comes. Hey, you're still celebrating. Another one comes. You celebrate. The other one comes. And then somebody is saying, hey, but God, why is that person seeming to move from one miracle to another? Because they sowed. The principle of seed does not respond to need. I can get 10 houses, yet I need one. And somebody who needs only one and is on the street has none. Because for me I sowed, and for him he did not sow. Praise the Lord. Now it is just that simple. Now you are going to go, praise the Lord, you are going to go and chew curd today. And become clean. Like animals, we chew, what? Chew curd. Chew curd and become clean. Those which don't chew curd like pigs. Don't be a pig. You can eat it, but don't be it. Amen? Because a pig wants to go, that's the end. And you know, they keep on wanting. But you see, even at night, they are looking for what? To eat. But now a cow eats during the day, then at night it's cheating. It's chewing curd. Now, the words that we speak here can construct you and take you away from Babylon completely, and you have a life where nothing of Babylon can stop you from achieving your goals. Praise the Lord. Nothing of our economy is like this, economy is like that, Babichi. You know, sometimes I look at those things. I was looking to the other day at the budget allocations, and I said, hey. I said, but by the way, man, run away from what? From Babylon. Run away from Babylon. Because they come and collect money. Then people come and just... that's basically what it is. I was looking at the allocations and I was laughing and saying, but this country of ours. But you see, I can laugh. Because, okay, I give some tax. But it's okay, let them go and what? Enjoy my tax. After all, even Jesus gave tax. But if you're dependent on their system and you belong to the category of Tusava government, Tuyambe, when even they did, a driver who complained about poor pay was imprisoned for hate speech. But they should just come here and we teach them these principles. Praise the Lord. Because Egypt, they can't. You complain about poor pay, prison, hate speech. Can you imagine complaining about poor pay? At least they should fire you. At the worst. But hate speech, who do I hate? I love myself. I don't hate anybody. I just love myself. I'm saying, give me more money. But now that's what Egypt is like. So the principles we are teaching you are not optional. The reason I'm saying all that, compulsory. Praise the Lord. Compulsory. Because when they start working for you, as they do for some of us, you'll be in a place of comfort and you look at how other people are struggling. Nothing can touch you because it has been built inside you. Isn't that worth fighting for? Isn't it worth fighting for? Can I wake up in the morning and somebody is going to fire me from the job and I'm going to be broke? Nobody's going to fire me from any job. But when I was planting, you know what the scripture says? Those who sow in tears will reap in what? There was a time when I was planting and it was a bit tight, but now when you start harvesting, that is worth fighting for. Praise the Lord. So now the word has been sown. Don't let the devil take your card. Go and chew card and become clean. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amar The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, You can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.